Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. From where I'm sitting right now, it's probably a 15-minute drive to downtown St. Louis, and I can drive through downtown St. Louis and the old city of St. Louis, and I can see churches that, while some of them are closed, many of them are still open, but the congregations are not as big as they used to be. The buildings obviously boast a past when the churches were full and prosperous. And the neighborhoods, while they might have declined, some of those churches actually do end up closing and standing empty. There's a story from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about that very thing happening in downtown Pittsburgh, and it doesn't seem to be letting up, the closing of churches. Pastor Steve Shave joins us to talk about the closing of churches in Pittsburgh and other urban centers. He's director of Urban and Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Steve, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
Is there a common explanation for what seems to happen in urban centers all across the United States? Churches dwindling, closing, and then shutting their doors?
From my own experience and, kind of on a day-to-day basis, work with congregations all over the United States and visit with a lot of congregations that are struggling, as you said, to maintain, it's very common. There seems to be a very set pattern, even historically speaking, of changes in the neighborhood. Congregation members that once lived in the heart of the city or even built their congregation in the city so that they wouldn't have to commute, those days changed when neighborhoods changed. People moved out of the location that they were at. You see mostly commuters then that come on a Sunday morning. And those numbers of people, across Lutheranism here in the U.S. is shrinking, obviously, as we see overall the demographic of our church body and most mainline denominations aging and all the rest. But I think cities are especially have been affected because of all the different changes. And again, that unique dynamic of people that commute back into the city and how that's shrinking.
So part of it is simply that there are not as many people living in the inner city as there used to be. They didn't think of it as the inner city back in those days. It was just the city and then later became the inner city. Is that part of it?
That's part of it. So, a lot of people that worked in manufacturing and industry that lived in the heart of the city, it's interesting, even President Winnikin from way back when, as the second president of the LCMS, even speaks about the importance of the city. Who's going to be the missionaries to these people that are working and toiling for a buck here in the city? Who's going to be the missionary that works his way into the homes and the hearts of these people? So even he recognized it all those years ago. So it's, almost come full circle. But certainly with the changes that happen in our cities, you do see a tendency for congregations that once people had moved away from the community, really disengaged from the neighborhoods around the church. And that, had a very adverse effect in terms of the congregation itself representing the blocks that are around the church building.
Has the suburbanization of America, people moving out to the outer edges of cities to live in the suburbs, and the churches planted there, has that harmed churches inside the cities?
I guess I would have to say yes, but I don't know that it had to be that way either, especially today. There's so much urbanization that's happening. Our major cities are, for the first time, actually outgrowing our suburbs now. So it's definitely not for lack of people that live in the city. We have mega cities like no other in the world here in the U.S. And, right around our congregations, we see this regentrification. So we see all these new urban pioneers, young professionals that, you know, back in the day might have, you know, moved out into the suburbs, but now we see this huge influx of people moving back into our cities. But the question then is, what is the disconnect between all of the people that have now kind of flooded back into the city with the churches?
So people who want to live city life, so to speak, they want to live within walking distance of their grocery store or their deli or the theater or their friends, but the connection with the congregation isn't there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So you have kind of a bit of both, where when the demographics of the neighborhoods changed and it didn't look like the local congregation anymore, that had its effect. But the people that have now moved into the neighborhood, you know, a lot of the young professionals, the millennials we see, are not religiously affiliated the way that they used to be. It's not passed down from generation to generation in the way that it might have been. And now we see, you know, young people who are actually adverse to a Bible committed confessional church body. So that makes it, you know, even more unique in its context, where you see the demographics of the neighborhood changing, and again, not engaging with the people that live in your community. And even with the new influx, you know, that same disconnect still is there.
Has there been a failure on the part of those suburban churches? I don't want to lay too much at their doorstep, but has there been a failure on the part of those urban churches to send people back into the cities?
Well, there's certainly that mindset. So, for example, where we would say it would be great for us to get involved in mercy work in the inner city to help rebuild communities and neighborhoods, but to truly have a transformational effect, it truly would require missionaries who have a heart for reaching the least and the lost, that would also be willing, you know, even if it was in an affordable housing neighborhood, that, you know, they have a mid-range home or something like that, where they would honestly say to themselves, I want to be a part of the transformation in this community, make a difference, and move back into those areas, yes.
There's the story from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette where kind of the, I don't know, the attitude of the millennials is reflected. It says, when you come outside your door in a city area, you almost always see a church, and it adds to the architectural fabric to which our children are exposed. It makes their imagination soar. There seems to be an aesthetic appreciation for the churches standing there empty, but not really a spiritual or theological one.
Yeah, they don't have that same connection. And they do, I mean, they, as you said, they like the fact that there is this godly, otherworldly thing in their neighborhood. That is certainly true. There is also a lot of pragmatic things. I mean, when you have a church that is about beautification, you know, that makes a big difference in terms of crime in that block. When you have, you know, the church is really the only group of people that, you know, their heart is in the right place, why they serve their neighbor in love, and they're the only ones doing some of the social ministry that does go on. There are some pragmatic things about the church that are appealing for a community, that you would want to keep your churches in those neighborhoods because they are a good neighbor. They do make a difference. And, you know, for us, obviously, we know we have something much greater than those temporal things. We have these eternal things to offer.
So I guess that raises a question about, I was recently attending community theater in St. Louis, and the theater, the actual building where we saw the performance, was obviously, quite obviously, an old church. But it had been converted with stadium seating and lighting and everything else. But you could not hide the fact that it had, even if with blacked out stained glass windows, couldn't hide the fact that it had been a church. And someone might say, well, Pastor Shave, there you go. We saved the building. Is that good enough?
Yeah, certainly. And again, the church building and the sanctuary and that sacred space is such a gift for us in our Lutheran heritage. We certainly don't want to see the loss of a building, and especially if you have a regentrified location like what you're talking about, it could get turned into a bank or a bar or a theater or what have you. There's a lot of different repurposing of that building, but that's kind of the discussion that we're having here, is are we trying to save the building, or is there something greater at stake here? And for me, it's, you know, important that we have a proper sacred space to worship. But are you more worried about the Gothic cathedral? Or are you more worried about the homeless person that's sleeping on the steps? Are you more worried about that soul, you know, when it's a family that's sleeping out in their car on the street? And the reason that we need to be there is because we have this Lutheran confession of faith that if we lose that building, and we, you know, we literally have no space then, because again, in the city, when you lose prime real estate, you'll never get it back again. If you lose that beachhead, you know, what have you really lost? And that is your ability to have a space there to worship, to gather around God's gifts.
Another observation from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette story has to do, from the Catholic angle, the Diocese of Pittsburgh observing that there's less sacramental observance going on in the cities. That is, people are not attending the sacrament as much. What does a church that can actually say with a straight face, Jesus is here, his presence is here in this building, in the bread and wine, in the sacrament for you, in this very place, in this inner city, what advantage do they have over a church that just says, well, Jesus may, he's spiritually present, but, you know, you can find him any place? What's the advantage there?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there might be activities, and for example, what you're mentioning, maybe there's caring of the poor, and certainly that's what we're called to do. And, you know, even the skeptical urbanite who really looks down upon the church and thinks, you know, they're just legal, moral, you know, they don't really care about people, you know, when they see you out there caring for folks, even the least, there's nothing for you to gain from it, you know, they recognize that as being real. And that's what we have to offer, is something that's real. When you come to Lutheran worship, you are receiving this thing that is so otherworldly. You know, it's, as you're saying, kind of what connects us to folks is that we have the real presence of Christ. We have this place that is sacred. What we offer in our worship is completely outside of their, you know, rat race day-to-day living. We have true hope. We give peace, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I also am helping with a lot of the mission work that we're doing here in the United States now, and, you know, I can't say it enough. Do not underestimate the gift of a clear conscience in today's culture, that we can absolve people of their sins, that we can give them forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That is what truly will transform. I mean, so much of our focus these days is, you know, November 8th in Washington, D.C., and the Supreme Court, but we have to keep in mind also that as the city goes, so goes our culture. If we could make a dent in our major cities, you know, that would truly transform us, you know, as a nation again. So don't underestimate the importance of us and our faith and what we have to offer, most especially to grant the forgiveness of sins and to give a clear conscience and offer peace and hope as no one else. It won't come from any secular agency. In a church building, that's what we have to give to the world.
Could we all benefit, regardless of the where or what of the congregation, that is, suburban congregations, inner city, small town congregations, could we all benefit from perhaps renewing the idea of the old idea of the parish? That is, it wasn't just people who travel from all over the place to come to a church, but that they formed a community outside the church as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. Any inner city pastor will tell you that it's not just that he is the caregiver of these souls in his flock. His neighborhood looks to that person as being a shepherd of their community. You know, they anticipate that they will care for the poor, that they will care for their young and for their elderly, that they are looking out for their neighbors, they're walking in the streets, and they really do have a heart for the people in their community. And that's this idea of community and parish. And so for an inner-city pastor in such a densely populated community, they're already looking to that person, that deaconess, that church worker, as being, you know, someone that is a part of the fabric of their community.
Before we let you go, what's LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission doing to combat this trend of churches closing in our inner cities?
Yeah, so we're giving resources to not only stay in the city, work in your communities, make a difference in your communities, help people that are in need, but we also have a huge initiative, the Mission Field USA initiative, for doing new mission work in a city. We're sending national missionaries to serve in even some of the grittier inner city locations where things are toughest, but the financial need is great, working among the homeless and the poor and et cetera, et cetera, but also a focus on reaching out to new people groups that are coming in droves in the U.S. So we're giving resources that we hope will help people to re-engage again in their neighborhoods, but also that we can be a part of looking at our major cities of the United States as being some of the greatest mission fields on planet Earth.
You can find out more about LCMS Urban and Intercity Mission at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Steve Shave is Director of Urban and Intercity Mission for the LCMS. Steve, thank you very much.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
When we come back, we are going to be doing our, well, this is going to be our final update on the November elections, because the November elections are 1 week away, and then we'll have to look at them in retrospect. There's a lot to talk about. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist and Mark Hemingway of The Weekly Standard will be with us for that last of our November election updates. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.